Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
You're listening to episode 115 of the God Center Mom Podcast with me, Heather McFadden, and today I'm chatting with Ruth Sukup about Unstuffed.
We have this kind of do-it-yourself mentality in our culture, especially with women, where we think, you know, we think we can just fix everything by, you know, putting everything in the right box and, you know, figuring it all out. And if we read the right books and if we do the right stuff and if we check off the right lists and if we participate in the right activities, then we're going to get the life that we want. And a lot of times it doesn't work that way. And so, you know, I talk a little bit about balance from that perspective and realizing in my own life that balance doesn't mean like figuring out, you know, the right perfect way to distribute my time so that it's all even. It means it's not really something I can even do. Balance is only what happens when we stop doing and we just rest.
When I say the word clutter, you probably think of your home, maybe your car. Are you drowning in stuff like I am? I don't know. It just feels like I have this love-hate relationship with things. That's how Ruth starts her book, Unstuffed. Just, we want the things, but then once our house is filled with them, we don't want them. And it's not just our house. It's the schedule. We want our kids to have the experiences, but then when we're driving crazy all over the place, we wish we hadn't said yes. It's my mind. I'm thinking about all the people and all the things, and I'm keep looking at the social media and reading all the books, and my mind is cluttered as well. So Ruth, from her book Unstuffed, and you can find her over at livingwellspendingless.com. We're going to talk about this idea of unstuffing our lives. She and I laugh a lot. We totally understand the mounds of kid toys, and we spend a lot of time talking about the flow of things coming back into our house, because even if we get rid of the clutter, there's going to be a space. And if we don't figure out our why are we choosing those things? Why are we saying yes? It's going to re-stuff. So we also want to encourage you that if you're feeling like you're beyond hope, there's no way you can recover from the mound of things. Ruth shares a little bit of her story and where she's come from, and that she does understand hardship and deep pits and God's amazing grace to her in it. We even focus some time on some friendships and how do you declutter relationships? What does that even mean? I am just so thankful that you're listening today, that you're taking time to, you know, better your life and maybe make some space in your life and free yourself up. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing with your friends. Thank you for reviewing. Thank you for subscribing. All the things that you do. Thanks for chatting with me over on Facebook, on the page, Instagram. I've got some fun stuff to share with you all at the end of the show, so make sure you stick around for that. But let's get right to the interview. Here we go. Hey, Ruth, welcome to the God Center Mom Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's so great to be here.
I was thrilled. And then your book came in the mail yesterday, and I've just been pouring over it. Amazing. And we will get into all of that great stuff. Speaking of the word stuff. and we'll get unstuffed the stuff. First, always, I love to have guests introduce everyone to their family. So would you take a second and introduce us?
Absolutely. I am married to my husband, Chuck, who we are actually celebrating our 10-year anniversary on Friday. So that's very exciting. It's a big week here in the Sukup house. And I have two little girls, Maggie and Annie. Maggie is 9 and Annie is 6. I don't know. Blinked out on how old you are.
It's been a long day.
It's been a long day.
They're adorable. I have a whole boy house. So all the cute bows on Easter I saw on Instagram. So cute.
Oh, yeah.
So cute. Yeah,
they are fun. We live in Princess Fairy Mermaid Land, I like to say. It is all girls. My girls are like the two girliest girls you're ever going to meet. Like, they don't like boy Legos. They only like girl Legos.
Oh, the pink ones. Yeah, for sure.
One time I tried to give them boy Legos and they were like, oh no, mommy, we can't play with these.
What are these? Why are you giving me Star Wars? I don't want this stuff.
Yeah.
So, all right. This book, it's called Unstuffed, Decluttering Your Home, Mind, and Soul. And I told Ruth ahead of time, I was like, I don't know what to focus on because every section, I'm like, yep. Uh-huh. Yeah. I've dealt with that. Yep. And I don't know about you listening right now. There's probably an area of your life that you feel totally cluttered. And it may not be your home. Maybe you're like the type A, super organized, got the list, got the schedule mom. But maybe it's your mind, like you're constantly thinking and over and your schedule. And maybe it's your soul, like you've got a lot of baggage from your past. And maybe that type A-ness is compensating for something that's happened in your past. Ruth, literally, you hit on like all of these things amazingly.
It kind of runs the gamut of a lot of things. Sometimes I'm like, I wonder if I tried to pack too much into one little book, but
well,
I felt like that's where my heart was. So that was where the book went.
I mean, honestly, I think this is the mind of a woman, right? Like, yes. We're in all the places at all the times. When my laundry is everywhere, it's also making me have a crisis of like faith and like my, like, I'm the worst mom ever. Why can't I get this together? Why can't I be better at this? And
oh, that is so true. Right? I am the same way. Yeah. For me, it's like if there's clutter like laying around and the house gets completely disheveled and, you know, just this in the last couple of weeks, my husband had knee replacement surgery. What? So he has been like on the couch and completely like unable to walk around, unable to do anything. And my husband is normally like, he's a stay-at-home dad. He is the one who like is my sanity. And mm-hmm. So when he's not creating my sanity, like there are things going down. And so I had I did okay for like the first week. And then like 10 days in, I completely lost it. Like mm-hmm. there was stuff everywhere. I had gotten back from a trip like 6 hours before he had surgery and hadn't even unpacked my suitcase yet. I ran out of underwear and I wish I could say that I was really gracious about the whole thing. And my freak out was very calm and put together, but totally not. And, you know, I think we all get to that point though. Like there is a point and some people, you know, the mess in their house doesn't bother them, but suddenly you freak out because you feel so overwhelmed with all the things that you have going on in your life, and you've got, you know, your kids got activities over here and you've got PTO over here and you forgot to bring in cookies to your daughter's class. Mm-hmm. And whatever our moment is, like we all feel that just weight of the stuff that weighs down on us. And I think that's what the book speaks to.
Especially this time of year. I mean, everyone talks about spring cleaning, right? So yes. Maybe, I mean, we didn't have too much of a winter here in Texas, but usually you're like all caved in. It doesn't matter. You're just kind of like here and things are shut down because of snow days or whatever. But spring, it's like everything's up and running. Sports is up and running. Lots of spring birthday parties. Lots of things to be at for school and things to remember and projects and reports. And then you're like overwhelmed with all the things you accumulated at Christmas and Easter.
Yep.
And all those birthday parties you just went to. And because why are our kids getting stuff at birthday parties?
That is one of my little pet peeves.
Don't get me started. So we have all the things. So we already feel that like I need to declutter my home and then I need to declutter my schedule. And then, you know, you're feeling there's no time for quiet. So your spirit is and your soul are like, you know, dying.
Yes.
Okay. So all of that, you
totally
get
there with you.
I get help.
And that's where the book, like I think a lot of times we are so crazy that we look at a book like this, like Unstuffed, and go, the last thing I need right now is another book telling me how to declutter my life because I ain't got
more clutter, right? That's one more thing I've got.
It's just one more thing to add to the noise of everybody telling me, here's like your 5-step process to figuring out your life. And it's not quite that simple. Mm. And that's where like this is not the book that, I mean, and don't get me wrong, there's so many practical ideas that hopefully people will be able to implement and just kind of absorb and go, oh, that actually makes sense. Cause I'm all about super simple solutions, like make things easy. Why are we making things so hard? We don't need to overcomplicate the process and we certainly don't need to feel guilty about it.
Yeah.
And so that's what this book is all about, is kind of like alleviating that pressure that we're all feeling of just like, oh, I need to do everything, and figuring out some practical ways of taking off the pressure.
Because sometimes, especially young moms, if you're listening, I know I talk to them and they'll come to me and be like, do I need to sign up for soccer? My kid's 18 months. Like, is that a thing? Do I need to do that? I'm like, honey. Don't, please.
He's going to get behind, and all the other kids are going to be already like pro signed with the pro team by the time they're four.
Cause that's what we want. A professional athlete. Cause their lives go so well. Well, and I think just having perspective, because when you're like, I told you I'd be all over the place. I love when you were talking about kids and stuff, because I know moms listening, that's huge stress. Oh, is like, I can maybe go through my closet and do the KonMari method and be like, this doesn't bring me joy, so I'm getting rid of it. But to do it for my kids' stuff, none of their stuff brings me joy. No, so, but I can't get rid of all of it.
It brings more anger, I think, and rage.
Yes. Okay. So then you went by age and said, okay, this age, 0 to 3, I think is what you broke it down. Birth to 2, like as minimal as possible. Which is so hard because everyone loves to give new babies things.
I know. And they need no things.
They need no things. But I am so guilty because I was a speech pathologist for 0 to 3 before I had kids. And so I had so many toys already from treatment. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, well, and this is such a key age. And so I need to really stimulate his brain. And not like every baby Einstein thing. And I mean, I was
I hear you. I was right there too, because I kept thinking like, well, first of all, you are like terrified when you have your first kid that you're not going to stimulate their brain enough and that something's going to be wrong with them, and it'll be your fault.
Classical music in the womb.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Classical music, the baby Einstein, whatever you could do to make your child smarter. I had those singing babies. Did you ever get that DVD? That was the creepiest DVD ever.
The singing babies? No.
My daughters were obsessed with it. Yeah. It's like these babies they like superimpose lips on there that are singing. No. And yes, and it was so creepy, but my kids both loved it. Singing babies.
All right. Everybody and, look out for singing babies.
But the same thing. I mean, every single toy, and I would like read the reviews on these toys and think that, you know, and then I'd be frustrated because my kids weren't actually playing with anything because they were babies. They didn't want any of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we do it to ourselves. And yet then they get to a point where they start accumulating even more, and that's when that's when it gets even harder.
Well, and it's so hard, and some of my boys are literal gift people, and that they don't need like it to be a nice gift. It could be a napkin from a birthday party, and we're saving it because it means something to them. And I remember when I went to that birthday party, I mean, that's a personality sometimes.
Yes.
That's tricky. I was kind of that when I was little, and my mom was like, you can have this one box under your bed. It's like one box. No,
we have a drawer, and that's our girls each have a drawer. And it is totally a personality thing. Cause my oldest daughter is exactly like that. Like everything means something to her.
Mm-hmm.
And even like garbage. Oh, I could make a craft with this.
Yes.
That's a girl thing. Must
my
be.
Stars crafts. The tape.
Yeah. And my younger one, she's like, oh no, you can get rid of that. And I'll be like, but that's your special blankie that you've had since you were born. Oh yeah. I'm kind of done with it, but
yes,
you know, so
more like people oriented than thing oriented.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Exactly. So it really, you really do have to be sensitive to your different personalities. But I think, you know, one thing that I started doing with my daughter, and maybe this makes me a bad mom, I can't believe I'm admitting this, but one time I was like, oh, Maggie, you better be careful, you're going to turn into a hoarder. And she's like, well, what's a hoarder? And I'm like, well, let's go check on Netflix and see if we can watch it. And you know, sure enough, Netflix had Hoarders. And so we started watching it. And she, like, right after that was like, let's go declutter my room.
That's the best method ever. You're not a bad mom. That is like genius.
I watch that now quite frequently. Every time we need to have a good purge.
Well, and that is perfect lead in, because I had underlined a quote from what chapter are we talking? Chapter 1. Look at that. You said, after all, if we can't stop the flow of new stuff coming in, all the books in the world about organizing and decluttering won't help, because they don't go into hoarders and just say, well, you know, we're professionals, we got this, we can clear this out, because they know it goes deeper for that person.
It's so much deeper. It's so much deeper for all of us. And yeah, I think hoarders are the way extreme of that.
Yeah.
But it really is, it's a matter of kind of changing the way that we even approach it and how we have to stop that flow of stuff coming in. That's the first thing. If we can't do that, then it doesn't matter how much stuff we get rid of because we will always fill our house right back up again.
So what things have helped y'all with having young kids? How have you kept the flow from coming in?
Well, I really avoid the stores.
Yeah.
That's a huge
one. What about online?
That's a little bit harder, but yeah. I really try really hard not to shop online too. I used to be a big online shopper, like Amazon.com, and
yes,
that Amazon Prime was like life changing for me. It was, so I mean, bad. I can have anything I want in 2 days, and now we have
two
a distribution
hours.
Center. Yeah. Like 2 hours away. So the stuff comes, you order it on Saturday night. It's there like first thing Sunday morning. I don't even know how they do it.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing, but also a little bit scary how like accessible it is. So really being careful and conscientious about just not letting new stuff come in. And we're real careful about birthdays and Christmas. Mm-hmm. For our kids, for Christmas, we'll usually do like one or two gifts, but that's about it. And we've started giving our kids money. Mm-hmm. Because we like to travel and we like to travel with them. And so we're more about if we're going on experiences and so that they have money to do the things that they want to do when we go on trips and that they're also learning how to manage money. That's worked out well now that they're a little bit older and more capable of kind of handling that. And we get to teach them about budgeting. So that works out really well too.
And you have the two girls. I mean, when you have the same gender, I don't know about y'all, but we pretty much have every single toy you could buy for a boy.
Oh, yeah.
At every age and stage. And we do, it's like and we have such generous, wonderful family on both sides that want to give everybody a gift. Fortunately, we do like the
such
Secret
a blessing
Santa.
And a curse. Yeah.
And then, you know, for the grandparents, we have done the experiences. How about y'all get a membership to the zoo? How about you do, took them to Legoland? How about, you know, even my second son, who's more people than stuff. For Christmas from us, we got him tickets to go see a basketball game. And we said, you know what? It's not going to be till April. It's actually this Wednesday. You're going to have to wait, but it's going to make Christmas last so much longer because you're going to.
Oh, that's so great. Yep. And we've done that same thing too. Like last year we went to Disney for a couple days and it was great. We had the best time we've like had as a family. Mm. But we didn't do Christmas presents at all. And they were like totally good with that. And then this year we went to Washington State and spent Christmas with my family, which was the first time we've ever done that. Mm. And that was, we all rented a cabin together up in the mountains, all my siblings and I.
Fun.
And it was so much fun. And none of us did presents. And so that was just really great because it was so not about the stuff. It was just about the experience of being together. And my kids had never, I mean, there was 22 of us. My kids had never had a big family get together because we live in Florida and they all live in Washington State. And my kids were like, when do we get a move to Washington? Thought it was the best Christmas they've ever had.
And so much more memorable than the gift.
Yeah.
Kind of like your memorable Christmas. I think we should talk about the gift that you build up. Yeah,
yes.
Tell everybody about that you mentioned in the book.
Okay, so you're talking about the Cabbage Patch?
Yes.
Okay, so when I was, I think, like 7 years old, that was in the mid-80s, and Cabbage Patch dolls were the thing that you had to have a Cabbage Patch doll.
Flying off the shelves.
The shelves. Like people were tackling each other, and it was all craziness. And so I was determined I was going to have a Cabbage Patch doll and I was dreaming about my Cabbage Patch doll and talking about my Cabbage Patch doll and checking under the tree every day. And then like one day there was this present and they have very distinctive boxes.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And so I knew that my Cabbage Patch doll was there and that was like still like, you know, a few days before Christmas and I was going to have to wait. And finally, like we always, in my family, we opened presents on Christmas Eve growing up. And so Christmas Eve comes, my whole family's there, my grandparents are there. And my mom's parents were Dutch immigrants. And so just very like, you know, salt of the earth, stout Dutch people, very stern. And
I know the punchline, so
I open up this doll and I'm like so happy, like my life is complete now because I have this Cabbage Patch doll and she's Andy Henrietta and she had brown hair.
You remember?
Oh, that's awesome. So her birthday was November 1st and
You're
remember
amazing.
Outfit and her little braids and she had brown hair and she had two little teeth and I thought she was so cute. And so my Dutch grandma says, "Rusian, let me see that doll," and you know, in her Dutch accent.
Yeah.
So I go and I run over and I'm all so excited to show her this doll. And she goes, "Ah, oh, that is the vreselijk jongens. That is a lelijke dolletje," which means, that's Dutch, that means this is basically the ugliest doll I've ever seen. And I was so completely, absolutely, like, devastated because my grandma, who I loved, my grandma, had just called this doll that I had wanted so bad. She had just called it the ugliest thing she had ever seen.
Because she's so right.
And she's so right. And that was the thing. And that's the point of the story in the book.
Yes.
Is that I was so obsessed, and our whole culture was so obsessed with this Cabbage Patch doll that year. Like, it was the mm-hmm. bad toy. Mm-hmm. And yet it took this, like, totally blunt Dutch woman to point out the thing that nobody else was pointing out, that these dolls are not very attractive dolls. Like, they're pretty ugly.
Even if you sprinkle some baby powder on them and yes. and maybe give us a little newborn one with the squishy bottom,
they're not cute,
yeah.
But I still loved her. And that wasn't the point, that I didn't love her.
No,
and
I
got much joy out of her for a long time. But I think that it was the point of the story in the book is just that there have been so many of these fads that come and go and are, you know, we have this consumer culture that tells us that we need to have stuff. But I think sometimes we need to have a little bit more discernment about what we're actually bringing in.
Well, and to give context to your sweet grandmother, I told Ruth, I said, when I read that story, I laughed out loud because they were so sold out in America. My dad happened to be on a business trip in Holland and he was like, there were piles of Cabbage Patch Kids dust covering them. So he brings back like the prizes, like my Cabbage Patch for me and even my little brother. He got him a boy one and the birth certificates were in Dutch.
That is so funny. So the Dutch, I guess all the Dutch people thought they were ugly.
It was pretty much a generalized, they're like, what is wrong with these Americans? They're so messed up. These are the ugliest things you've ever seen. What do their kids look like that they're making?
Is hilarious.
So do you like limit what your kids watch on TV so that to keep away from that?
Oh yeah. My kids don't actually know what a commercial is. Like we only have Netflix. And so they do watch Netflix occasionally. We'll let them watch a show. But it's very, very little. And so it's only on Netflix. So they don't get the, you know, Christmas bombardment, with what all the hot toys are. They never really know. And, you know, frankly, their lives are not worse for not seeing commercials.
Well, it's so true. Even like my little 3-year-old at Christmas time, I mean, the boys would maybe be watching a show that had a commercial and he'd be like, I need that. You don't need that. You don't even know what it is.
and you have to think that these companies are paying millions of dollars for this advertising.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They are researching what is going to turn like kids' brains on and what's going to attract kids. Like they know, they do all the research, they study all the psychology of advertising. Like they want the hearts and minds of our kids. And that's where I think as parents, we have to be so vigilant about protecting our kids from that kind of just influx. I mean, my kids are going to get it eventually. There's going to be a time in their life where the message of more, more, more gets to them.
Yeah.
And I want them to have the tools to be able to resist it now. So while I have, maybe it makes me a control freak mom that I only let my kids watch Netflix. But at the same time, like, I think that's kind of my job for right now is to protect their little minds from other people's messages.
Well, I feel like we're the gatekeepers, right?
Yes.
Like we don't have to let everything in. We already, I mean, a lot of us moms listening don't let them watch rated R movies. Like,
right.
We're already the gatekeepers on moral things. Why not heart things? I mean, my boys, we will talk about, they'll see a commercial. I'm like, guys, okay, that's not even in what they're selling you. That's an extra thing. okay, look here, it doesn't really fly. I remember one time my son wanted these tennis shoes he saw in a commercial because he thought he would jump super high. It was like can't even think of the brand right now, but he thought it really had springs in it, but they made it look like springs.
Oh.
So we had to go to the store and look at them. I'm like, see, they don't always like portray it.
Disappointment. Yeah.
And then also the heart of the matter of like, Fitbits are really big at our kids' school right now.
Oh, really? For kids? Really? Uh-huh.
Second graders.
Oh, wow.
Everybody got a Fitbit at second grade. So my son came home and we talked about getting the Fitbit instead of the basketball tickets because we were like, well, if it gets you to run more, whatever, you get your one gift if that's what you want to do. And he was like, no, I don't think so. I'd rather do basketball. He comes home. He's like, I changed my mind. I did want the Fitbit. I'm like, why? Oh, because everybody has it. And he took his dad's that was like the third version they kept breaking. It wouldn't hold a charge. He was like, I just want to wear it so people think I have one. Oh, okay. We need to talk about this. Why do we need people to think you have one? Because that, to me, is where even us moms struggle, right?
Oh, so much.
Whatever little culture you're in has a look, you know? I when I was in speech pathology conferences, there was like the Ann Taylor Loft look everyone wore.
Oh, so like you didn't get the memo for the uniform?
I didn't. So every place, every culture, every community.
That is so true. I definitely felt like that when I first started blogging. I think the first blogging conference I went to was Blistem. And yep, there was totally a look, a blogger look. And I definitely had a hard time with that. And I think that was probably not to blame for my stuff problem, but it certainly contributed for a while when I was, you know, trying to fit the profile, I think.
Well, even like at school moms, like it might be like everyone's wearing Lululemon or everyone's. Yep. So then we have to, because we want to fit. There's something in our core that wants to fit in.
Yep.
And so let's talk about the decluttering of the soul a little bit in relation to our stuff. Like, what advice? You talked about the flow and not letting things get in. But is there any point you have about that heart level?
Well, you know, I think that one of the things that I really address in the book is when we get to the soul part is just we have this kind of do-it-yourself mentality in our culture, especially with women where we think, you know, we think we can just fix everything by, you know, putting everything in the right box and, you know, figuring it all out. And if we read the right books and if we do the right stuff and we check off the right lists and if we participate in the right activities, then we're going to get the life that we want. And a lot of times it doesn't work that way. And so, you know, I talk a little bit about balance from that perspective and realizing in my own life that balance doesn't mean like figuring out, you know, the right perfect way to distribute my time so that it's all even. It means it's not really something I can even do. Balance is only what happens when we stop doing and we just rest. And in terms of like our spiritual life, I think we're guilty of the same thing. A lot of times we think that if we do the right devotionals and if we pray the right prayers and if we, you know, go to the right spiritual gatherings and the right. Retreats and we go to church and we do this and we do that and we're always looking for that experience of like where we're doing our faith the right way. And yet that's not really how it works, because our faith isn't based on what we can do, and it's not based on how our salvation is not based on anything we can do. So it's all what happens when we stop doing and we start accepting the grace that we've been given as a gift, totally undeserved. And that's a really, really hard thing to accept. And yet it's the most important thing that we could ever do. And it's the thing that will set us free.
Stopping to accept the grace that we've been given and not do. That's huge, right? That takes time in itself.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's one of those lessons you got to come back to again and again and again, because we are fallen human creatures that mess up constantly and will always be messing up. Like that is the nature of our humanity. And so, I mean, it's coming back to that again and again, that it is not me that can do this. It is God that can do this.
Well, and there's that cycle. I don't know if you've felt it ever, where you'll have like a day or an hour, maybe even a whole week, where you're like, I'm doing pretty good. I did the grocery. Oh, yeah. I got the clothes folded. Everybody got where they needed to be. Look at me. And then it doesn't take a moment. And then you're like, I'm the worst. I can't believe I can't get my stuff together. Why would my husband even want to be married to me? He should have somebody else. Who could do it better? Maybe he should stay home full time. I've literally told him that. You should stay home full time because you would do a much better job at this. He's adamant that he couldn't. My husband does do a much better job. I know. I was like, I think you're really good. You were really good at unloading dishwasher and you're really good at staying on top of everything. And he's like, I would be miserable, Heather. I'm like, okay, but what about I'm kind of miserable sometimes. So yeah. I think that if we are basing it off of us doing, we get in that cycle.
And the thing is, like, it's so funny because for me, it's always in those low moments that then I remember, oh yeah, I'm not supposed to do this on my own. Like, my problem is thinking that I can do it all. Mm. And that's where you come back to it again and again and again. Mm. So I'm sure I will be in that cycle forever because
it's hard to learn stuff when it comes to our hearts. Okay. But I do think you have come a long way. Y'all, this is not just a light, like, okay, this is how you declutter your closet book. I was telling Ruth, I was just getting to the last chapter of the book, and Ruth shares hard stuff. You share some hard stuff from your own life. And I don't know if you want to give a glimpse of where you've come from, because God has done a work and you have accepted grace.
He had his work cut out for me. That is for sure. Yes.
So there's a little glimpse.
The 5-minute synopsis.
Well, it's a lot.
Well, basically, I'm a mess. And my senior year of college, and this is, if you've read my blog, you might be familiar with this story because I do share a little bit on my blog. But my senior year of college, I went through a terrible depression. I'd grown up, you know, in a Christian home, went to Christian school all my life, went to Christian college, and then went through this terrible depression and ended up attempting suicide several times and I was hospitalized for a couple of years. Like, not just, this wasn't like a 2-week downtime. This was like major, lost everything. I filed for bankruptcy. I was married at the time. We got divorced. I lost all my friends. Had to drop out of college. It was completely lost everything that I'd ever had. And in the midst of all of that, and one of the reasons I think I was so depressed was because I lost my faith as well. And just, I wanted nothing to do with God. Mm-hmm. And so that went on for many years, for probably a good 10 years before I turned my back on God, but he did not turn his back on me. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot more to the story, but eventually he found me again, or got me back again. And it's been, you know, just realizing that I couldn't do it all on my own. And I think a lot of that process when I was on my own for so long was how I got so stuffed in the first place, where I was just trying to fill this hole inside of me, but really there was nothing else that could fill it up. Mm. Was that a good
thing? Well, I appreciate you sharing a little piece of it, because there's so often we as moms, I think one of the reasons we gain stress in the area of stuff and schedule and soul is because we look around and we say, well, she's got it all together and I'm a failure. And they look at your sweet face and your sweet smile and your sweet girls, and you're writing this book, and they could think, well, that Ruth, she's always had it together. Yes. And she doesn't know what my life is like. She doesn't know what I want to do to myself right now. I can't keep on going on. My husband would be better without me here. And they may have gone into church that morning. I know I had a breakdown and it was Sunday after church. So it's not that, well, they just need to go to church. It's, there is a heart surrender, recaptivating, recognizing how deeply loved you are by God, despite anything you do or are, that a woman has to feel. And just for her to know that you've been there, I think is really helpful.
Oh, I think it makes all the difference in the world. And I, you know, even when I was in that place, I used to look at people who had it all together and think, oh, they don't know anything about me, or they don't understand what they're going through. And the other thing I would see is people that were depressed who never got better. And I would think, there's no hope for me, because nobody ever gets better when they're like this. And so I think from both perspectives, I've been there. And I like to say, like I say on my blog all the time, I am not a money saving expert. I started my blog Living Well, Spending Less, not because I know how to save money, but because I don't. And the same thing with Unstuffed. I did not write this book because I'm like some super organized decluttering expert. I wrote it because I struggle with it too. But I'm one of those people who really, I try to find solutions and I try to figure out what works. And so all I'm doing is walking beside you and sharing what has worked for me and how to avoid some of the painful mistakes I've made, hopefully.
I think it's really, it hits on so many good things. We didn't even talk about the whole section on friendship.
Oh, I know.
Do we have seconds or not? Do you have to go?
We have seconds.
Okay,
sure.
Because
podcasts.
I have you held captive until I let you free. I almost just moved on, but then I was like, I talk about friendships a lot on the show because I think friendships are hard. I think women,
they are so hard.
I think women, when we have all that baggage too, and we are doing the comparing, and we are needing something from God that we put on people.
Yes.
It can hurt our marriages. It can hurt our relationship with our kids, and it can hurt our friendships. And this one, I think it's page 176. If y'all already bought the book, y'all, or you can go back and look. It says Basic Rules of Real Relationships. Genius, this little chart you have here. Because that is where relationships break down. It's like reciprocity. I'm okay if I interact with you X number of times week, month, year. You are okay if you interact with me. Like, how much expectation are we putting on each other?
Yes.
For this relationship?
Yes.
So good. So good. Okay, what else? What do you have as far as decluttering with friendships?
Well, you know, I think it was kind of a tricky chapter to write, actually, and a hard subject to broach in a book about decluttering, because I don't want it to sound like you need to throw your friends away or, like, let's declutter my friendship.
No.
Okay, you stay, you go.
No.
And I don't mean it like that, but I think like social media has completely like cheapened our friendships and it's made them very broad and very shallow. And so we will have 500 Facebook friends, but nobody that actually knows us, nobody that knows when we need a phone call because we feel like crap, nobody that celebrates the wins with us and challenges us when we have, you know, something that we need to be called to the table on.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what that chapter is really about, is figuring out how to have grace in our friendships and how to have depth in our friendships. Really, really two things that are super important, because the truth is that if we do make ourselves vulnerable to other people, there will be times where they let us down and we let them down, and we have to be okay with that. And like, I love how you said that, like sometimes we project what we want from God onto our friendships, and our friends aren't God and they can't give us exactly that thing, and they're not going to be perfect, but you can still have just this really, really, richness in your life when you have some really core, strong friendships.
And it may require a conversation. Like it may be a conversation of, I keep hurting you. I feel like the balance is off. It gives you words. This chart gives you words for knowing that something's wrong, and instead of just avoiding the friendship altogether and having a trail of broken friendships.
Yes.
Putting words to it, because I do have friends where, like, I haven't talked to them for a year. We're good.
Yep.
That's the level we are at. We've established. There's other friends I check in with regularly. There's one of my friends is so good at calling me once a week and checking in, and like,
that's amazing.
Yeah. She's so good at that. And like, we keep each other on a, we call it like a truth. Like, what lies are you believing?
Yes.
Like where is your heart?
Like an accountability partner type.
Kind of, yeah. With, you know, out.
So good.
And I'm not the one to be good at calling, but I'm fine to pick up that phone.
Yeah.
I will have a conversation, but
I'm not. Have you ever noticed that there's some people that you will always pick up the phone for and there's other people that you
won't. When it's draining. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that, I think that's like a really telling way of like, of a kind of evaluating your friendships. Like what are the ones that are draining me, and then what can I do to resolve this? Mm-hmm. Cause it's not like people are, is tricky. Like it's not like you can put your best friend in the goodwill bin, but you can,
no.
If you really want to salvage the friendship, you can deal with stuff. You know what? This week it was my birthday last week, and my best friend also has a birthday in March. So she texted me on my birthday to say happy birthday. And I realized as she was texting me about my birthday that I completely forgot her birthday.
Mm.
And it made me realize like what an amazing friendship that she was like, oh, no worries. I know you've had a hard month. Like that's grace right there. That is true.
Like when they can give you, extend you the grace and assume from the start that I love you. Like assume the best. Assume the best.
Exactly.
She didn't you didn't purposely forget her birthday.
Nope.
Your brain can only do so many things. Your life can only hold so many things.
And that is why we have been friends for 25 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like one of those, it's just an amazing gift.
Well, Ruth, I really appreciate you taking the time to write the book first.
Thank you. Chat with me
today, second, on your big launch day.
Thank you so much for having me on. This was so much fun.
Well, we really appreciate it. We really just love your honesty and your vulnerability. And I really am this week. I think I'm going to do the weekend declutter challenge or unstuff challenge.
You should.
I looked at it like outlines every hour of what to do all weekend. We have nothing. I'm thinking I'm going to present it to the husband because he wants us to unstuff.
Oh,
for sure.
See, so doing it all at once like that is like amazing because you just like...
Yeah.
It's totally transformative.
I think so. I need to see quick results.
Yay.
Yeah. So thank you for all of that and helping our family function better.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
All right. And have a good rest of your launch day.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, y'all. First of all, I want to acknowledge the weight of what Ruth shared just now in the interview and her story. I put a link in the show notes to what she wrote out, her full story, on her site. It's called Amazing Grace Part 1, Amazing Grace Story Part 1. And, you know, in that she shares that the root of her depression started when she was reminded of a history of sexual abuse from a caretaker. And that's hard stuff. And so I don't know what your story is. I know that is not a rare event. And so if that is your story, if you're struggling with depression, if you are having suicidal thoughts, I want you to know there is a hotline, 1-800-273-TALK or 1-800-273-8255. Make sure you call somebody, tell someone, even if you are in a depression, reach out. You know, if you're not feeling like yourself, tell somebody. That to me is the first step in moving forward, is putting it out into the light and letting somebody know. I also know that you may want to unstuff your life, but you're feeling overwhelmed and you don't know where to start. So I'd like for you to think of one thing in your life. I don't know if it's your home. I don't know if it's your schedule. I don't know if it's your mind. I don't know if it's your spiritual life that you would like to be different than it is. It's you would like more space, more freedom in that one area. What would it look like if you could imagine it differently? What would it look like? And what would it take? What action could you take to get you there? So let's say for our home, this weekend, we sat down on Saturday and I was like, I'm going to do Ruth's decluttering unstuffed weekend. I told my husband because we had really nothing planned. And I described it to him. He said, well, what's your main goal? Like Bruce is always like top down. And I really just didn't want our main living spaces to be so cluttered. And our main living spaces includes a closet next to our bathroom and a closet under the stairs. And then there's an armoire in our dining room that has all the boys' games and things. So he said, how about we focus on those areas and the countertop? They've got a lot of stuff on the counter. If we could clean out those areas, I think you would feel a lot better. We don't have to declutter the entire house. And so for us, that was where we focused. And it was thinking, I want a space so I don't feel so cluttered. I want places for things so the boys can clean up and put it back, and a system. And so, you know, in a Saturday, that's what we did. And it took time, and there were bags and bags of trash. And I still have some areas I want to fix up a little bit and make maybe go to a container store. But now I know what I'm containing, and I'm not just buying containers and not knowing what I'm containing. So just some ideas. Pick one area. I don't know if it's that you want to have a quiet time, but you don't feel like you can find a time in your day. I don't know if it's your schedule is full. Mine felt full. And then this week, Price broke his arm. So we don't have baseball for him. And there was a birthday party at a trampoline park. And it kind of cleared our schedule a little bit. It also filled it with doctor's appointments. But I have a feeling that if schedules are too full, sickness starts happening, you wear yourself down, and your schedule might be cleared for you in one way or another. So anyway, I wanted to say those couple things. Lastly, definitely check out the Facebook page this week. I'm going to be sharing a little giveaway. Jeremy Camp has a new video out for his single Christ in Me from the album I Will Follow. And I'm going to be giving away a copy of that album. But I wanted to read y'all some lyrics from that album. It says, in this obsession with the things this world says make us happy, we can't see the slaves that we are and all the searching and all the grasping. Like we desire much more than all the blessings we're holding. So I'm running free into an ocean of mercy unending. Asking God to just empty us. This lie that the world tells us that we need more. And because we're grasping for more things and to do more things, we miss that Christ is in us, that he is our life, and what we're forgetting to fix our eyes on him and to stop chasing the things of this world. So make sure you check out the Facebook page this week. I will post the giveaway there so you can win a copy. I hope you all are doing well. I really just want us to live lives that are God-centered and can see what he values and what he has given us and who we are in him. So have a great day. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the God-Centered Mom Podcast. If you're looking for more resources on how to replace me with he, go to godcenteredmom.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guest. I want you to really understand and know that God is just as present while you are washing dishes at your kitchen sink as while you are worshiping him in a church pew. He sees your service to your family and he is pleased. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Have a great day.